Our Father in heaven, again, we come before you. We're so thankful for all the blessings that you do give to us individually, collectively, as your children. We know that you care for us. You want the best for us. And this physical life affords us the opportunity to be blessed and yet at times to suffer because we're physical. We're chemicals that you created that are not made to last forever. But we know that being called and chosen and repented and baptized and receiving your spirit, what an incredible salvation blessing to know we'll live forever. And this physical body won't be the same. So we've had some prayer requests. We pray that you'll just, as we mentioned, please encourage and help and lift up and be with all the folks with these situations and bless them. And Father, we ask that you'll bless this study this evening, this Bible basics discussion and teaching and interaction, and pray that you'll be here in spirit. Protect us from the evil one and his minions and that just recalcitrant spirit that's not anything that we need or want part of, nor do you. And we just ask your blessing here and pray that the transmission will go well and reception, and just give us peace. And we thank you. We praise you, we love you, and we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Let's go straight to the book of Haggai. We have had two overviews and a sermon message. And so we will start in chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Haggai. Again, the lesson for this book that kind of overrides and overlays over everything that is applicable to each one of us is that we need to be put doing God's work ahead of our own interest. Now, that can be very subjective to some, but we've discussed that. And if you put, we're coming up to Passover, and you realize what was the focus of the Father and Jesus Christ, which was the Word became flesh, what was their focus? And you remember what was the focus when Mary and Joseph got separated from younger Jesus. And when they found him, kind of scolded him a little bit. Where have you been? And he said, why are you worried? I am about my Father's business of doing that work. And so it's important to remember that in our individual lives and collectively as we can. I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about how we live our lives and become a new creation, a new creature. How we let Christ, that mind, and our Father live in us through his Holy Spirit, and focus on being outward, not inward. Human beings are very myopic. We are what's called in psychology self-absorbed individuals. And that changes as we yield to God's Spirit, becomes very outgoing. And so the lesson of this book is put God's work, his work, what he's doing with you, what you do with others, what we do collectively as the body, those interests should come ahead of our own. And what you'll find is even when you're suffering, and at times many of us do horribly, you will feel differently. So Haggai 1:1, in the second year of Darius the king, now this is not Darius the Mede, but his name was Darius Hyspotus, Hyspostus. It's also not Darius the second, for those of you that like history. And so it's interesting, this is pinpointed in the sixth month in the first day of the month. Well, the sixth month is September, and in the sixth day of the month. And so it was the 6th of September. And as we then go through, we can pinpoint even better through various times within this when this book was written and when it took place. Then came the word of who? The Lord, the Eternal, by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. So the word of God came to these individuals, and in verse 2, and again, Zerubbabel's a human government leader. In verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this is interesting how this is worded. This people say, okay, these people, these guys, God didn't want to necessarily claim them with their attitude and their approach. He said, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Didn't make him happy. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, so here we have unto Zerubbabel and Shealtiel, and then Joshua the son of Josedech, and now the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying in verse 4, it is time for you. Harry knows and remembers Dr. Zimmerman, Clint Zimmerman. When he was alive, he came back to Janesville one time. And he used to say when he would speak, he had a booming voice. He was a chiropractor. He had a booming, deep voice. And he would say in his messages, he would say, you there. And he'd point at you sometimes. He was a really nice guy. I was good friends with his son, Chuck. They're both deceased now. So God said here, he said, it is time for you. Who? You. And by reference, also, this is very applicable to every one of us and those that listen to this. For you, us, oh, you, to dwell. Is it time for you to dwell in your ornate houses? That's what sealed means. And this house, the one here I'm talking about, lie waste. So he said, it's time to build your homes and not this temple. And if we're not careful, folks, and I would say every one of us at any given time fits right in this category, we're so busy building our homes, our retirement, our finances, our whatever it is that we're focused on, that we will neglect. And the temple is multifold. It's not just meaning the temple in this case of the house of God, which is part of it, but also individually, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are we working on changing this? As we come up to the Passover and we examine ourselves with the perfect law of liberty, which is God's word, and compare ourselves to Jesus Christ as our high priest and our Lord and Master, how are we doing? Because it describes every last one of us at times. We focus too much on this physical life and acquiring and amassing all these things, which can all what? Where moth and rust does corrupt. It's not wrong to plan. It's not long to pl wrong to plan for you get older to be able to provide for yourself. Absolutely. Not at all. But frankly, too many of us get sidetracked. And that's part of human nature. And that's why Christ addressed it over and over and over to bring it to our attention. So he's doing that here. He says, now therefore, okay, first he asked the question, is it time for you to dwell in your ornate houses and this house lie waste? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the Eternal of hosts, consider your ways. And as I mentioned last time, if I were to say to any of you, if I were to say, for example, to, I don't want to mention anybody by name. By luck, I'll offend someone. But if I were to say, mention a name, I would like you to consider your ways. There isn't really any way I can say that in a voice inflection that's going to be palatable for most people. They're going to be, mind your own business. Who are you? Why are you asking me that? What do you mean? Is there a problem? And so they weren't much different than that at times. We're going to read about that. But he says, consider your ways. He says it again in verse 7. I'm going to skip verse 6 for a minute. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. When God repeats himself, there's a reason. And I go back, and I've used this so many times in the Old Testament, where he says in one chapter, 16 times, 7 days you shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles. 16 times in one chapter. Do you think he's trying to get a point across? And so he brings it up again in verse 6. You have sown much, but you're bringing in next to nothing. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with that drink. You clothe yourselves, but there is none of you that's warm. And he that earn wages to put into a bag with holes. You know, if you have a bag and you put something in it and it falls out, and maybe you don't see it fall out when you go to get it out of the bag, it's gone. What good is the bag? And so, you know, sometimes some of us may have experienced this where you invested in something or you put your money in something that you thought was going to definitely be secure, and something happened and you lost it, most of it or all of it. And you're like, well, that wasn't wise. I'm not going to do that again. He says, so everything you're doing, and inflation will do this. But it describes today's economic conditions as well. You can prepare and get everything, all your ducks in a row, and somebody come by and shoots your ducks, the ducks fly away, or maybe you didn't have any ducks to begin with. And I'm not saying you shouldn't plan, don't misunderstand that. But what's our focus? What's our focus? If you try so hard to take care of yourself and amass all this for you and just take, and you know, we have this joke with us. One time we were traveling overseas with a bunch of people and we all got pretty sick, and the joke was, the one lady, she said, I only have enough medicine for my family. And I remember saying, well, we are your family. Well, I mean my physical family. And we brought that up years later. I only have enough for me. And it's easy to get into that attitude. So they did all these things. And then God says, okay, by the way, again, consider your ways. So he says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Build that temple, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Eternal. What is our purpose as human beings? Matthew 6, the model prayer, what does it say? Our Father, which art in heaven, praised, which is what the word Old King James, Old English, hallowed means, praised be your name. The angels that are around the throne of God, the 24 elders, the seraphim, the cherubim, they're singing praises to God. He deserves that. You and I don't. We're human. It's nice to get thanks, and but if we expect people to praise us and say, oh, you're so great, oh, we love you. I remember a famous leader of a church I was part of would stand up when he came on the stage and people were all clapping. Some of you remember this, and he would go like this, bring it, more, yes. He just ate it up. And I used to say, oh, not a good thing. And so go up to the mountains, bring wood, start cutting wood to repair my place, to build this like you should have been. You look for much, and lo, it came to nothing. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Eternal of hosts, because of my house that is in waste. And you run every man into his own house. So you're running here and running there at each other's houses and whining and dining and having parties and taking care and making it nicer and fancier and bigger. And my house has fallen apart. Verse 10. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew. And the earth is stayed from her fruit. So translated, you're not getting the moisture that's needed for things to grow. And The earth is shut. Stuff's not growing. Well, when you don't have rain and you don't have food, you get hungry. And what happens if you don't eat? And if it stops raining, pretty soon you don't even have rivers or lakes to get water from. What happens? Not a good thing. Verse 11. He says, I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, the new wine, the oil, that which the ground brings forth. And he says also upon men, so human beings, upon cattle, and upon all the labor of your hands. So what he's saying, he says, the mountains are generally plush and beautiful. And he said, I can't bless you unless you get on with doing my work. This is pretty direct, and it can be applicable for all of us too. If you work so much on taking care of your physical health, which is you should take care of that, but you neglect the spiritual part, what's going to happen? If you collect and amass all these things financially, okay, and spiritually you're in trouble, what's going to happen? That's why in Matthew 6, verse 30 to 33 and on, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added to you. And it's a slippery slope. We all can get caught up in it, of having more things, more stuff. And again, it's not wrong to plan. You need things to live. But like I say sometimes, how many cars do you need? How many houses do you need? How many RVs do you need? How many cabins do you need? How many boats do you need? And not that any of those are wrong. And so he said, I called for a drought on all these things. Everything's drying up. In verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedek, and Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord. And all I can say to this is hallelujah. Wow. You got a preacher that motivated the people by the masses to change. We don't see that much today, do we? Sadly, we don't. You might have a very good message, a very energetic and caring preacher, speaker, but people aren't going to change. Very seldom. And they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. So he motivated by the masses these people to change. All I can say in the decades I've been doing this, wouldn't it be nice to talk about something and people say, yeah, amen, let's do it. How do we do it? Decades ago, it used to be like that. Not so much now. I had one time somebody said, you went from preaching to meddling. Well, I look in the mirror when I'm speaking, try to, and so I'm talking to me, and hopefully it will be helpful for others. And so we continue, verse 13. Then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message. So it's more, now he even adds the Lord's messenger, the Lord's spokesman, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Verse 14. I love this verse. Talking about God, what he can do, stirring up the spirit. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek. Why does he keep mentioning both their names? Because he wants us to remember who they were. The book of Acts is not complete, and maybe someday, I hope not, but it'll say, and Scott Hofker really messed up here, and Scott Hofker did this, or I'm not going to use anybody else's name, but he mentions it again, the high priest. He says he's a high priest and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, not all the people, but the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. I'm just going to say this, and this is not pointed at anyone. So please listen. But years ago, when someone would say, boy, it would be really nice if I had some help with this. And there would be a line of people, how can we help? How can we do this? Whether it was maybe setting up services or at the Feast of Tabernacles or the Holy Days or visiting widows, helping, it was like you had to turn people away. And that's different now. You might say, well, could sure use help with this. Well, I'm sorry, can't help you. Would like to, but. And so you stop asking. That's changed. And so here, God stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua and all the remnant. That's important when it says the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. When we say salvation is nearer than you think, now is the time to draw near to God and change and repent. I say that frequently. I mean it. How many hear that and change and say, I'm taking this seriously. We really need to. I remember, and I know this goes public, but I'm going to say this, it's the truth. Back when I coordinated feast sites, I coordinated a feast site in Cartagena, Colombia for several years. I really needed help at the feast. We had local brethren that did a lot of things, but I needed help with speaking, particularly, and counseling and anointing. And there were a number of people that were bilingual. I could not get anyone to come help. We ain't coming there. It's too dangerous. I ain't going to have a nice hotel. Well, I might not have a hot shower every day. And well, my wife just doesn't like to travel. She likes to stay in the condo and just enjoy the beach. And I'm not saying that's a sin. There's nothing wrong with that. Except year after year after year, I couldn't get people to help. Finally, one man who was employed, and the employed ministers, the feast is not their vacation. He said, well, I'll come, but I want to give a seminar here and a lecture here and a sermon here, and then I'm going to go to a different feast site for the second part of the feast. I said, no, I need someone that's going to come here, stay here, care for the brethren, and not focus on just what they can do and be a PR campaign. Well, then I'm not interested. And so year after year, and we got it done, but it's probably part of the reason our health suffers, or mine does. And so here he says he stirred up the spirit, and they came and they began to work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. In verse 15, in the 24th day of the 6th month, so 23 days later, best I can figure, if you count from the first mention, the 6th to the 24th and 20th, in the 2nd year of Darius the king, they began to do something about working on the temple. Wow. Can you imagine what Haggai and Zerubbabel and Joshua, the son of Josedech, can you imagine the enthusiasm? Every year at the feast, when we set up the feast, it's always encouraging because we seldom get the same people. There's the same old skeleton crew that are there. But last year was a gem. We had so many new people there. Remember, Gail? And it was a buzz. And a lot of them I didn't even know were coming. But as they were working and setting everything up, It was like my father-in-law, he likes to map out things and diagram. He had a diagram of what he'd drawn up, where everything goes and how many feet and how many squares. And so he had that, and people would ask, and we do this and do that. And I was just fascinated to watch. And then we had a new couple there that did the information table. And it was like, wow. And they're like, how would you want it done? I said, however you want to do it. And remember when they were done, we were like, wow. But it was so encouraging to watch that. And so here we see 23 days later, man, they're after it. As Larry the cable guy would have said, get her done. And they were. And spiritually, the same thing. Are we excited and motivated like that about the truth of God? Or have we been around a long time and we're tired and we're old and we're worn out? I call OTSs, old tired saint. I don't have anything to offer anymore. I just got old. And I wish I couldn't relate to some of that, but I can. But what do we do? You know, some people say, oh, I'm too old to learn anything. No, you're never too old to learn anything unless you have Alzheimer's or dementia. And even with them, there are things that you can learn. And so here's, this is a talk about a stir to action thing. In chapter two, let's move into that. In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month. So here we are, we've got the second basic, address or discourse of what we talked about as an overview. And it gives the very specific, it's in October. In the 21st day of the month came the word of the eternal by the prophet Haggai saying, speak now. So I want to back up a minute. The focus of this second basic address is don't compare temples. This is a big no-no, and we still do it within the body of Christ. Well, are you part of this group, or that group? And God says, don't do that. You be concerned about your relationship with our Father and His Son and what you're doing. But it's so easy to say, well, we're doing this in our fellowship. Well, we're doing this. Well, we have this. God says, don't do that. And there's a huge lesson as we go through this. And he says, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, Joshua, the son of Josedek, again, the high priest, to the residue of the people. So he went from what the remnant, now we're at the residue of the people, saying, you ever feel like the residue or the remnant? You've been around a long time, you do. Because we don't have. I can remember speaking to 27,000 people. I have not spoken to 27,000 people for a very, very long time, and probably never will again. But we're the residue. And to the residue, the people saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? So this during the Feast of Tabernacles, that's a good example. I can say, remember all the people we had when I was in Squaw Valley or Big Sandy or St. Petersburg or Wisconsin Dells, Lake of the Ozarks, some of the sites. You remember all those people? I remember it took a good 5 minutes to get all the way back from where we had to sit back to go to the restroom in the back as a kid. It was forever. And finding seats. Waving, going through the crowds to weave your way in. Now we have, well, you got four sections of seats. Which one you want? Right? Real hard. He said, do you remember when my house was in her first glory? How about your first love when God first opened your mind? Even if you grew up in the church, if you want to call it that, you still had a fire in your belly of, wow, this is so neat. At least you should have. I hope you did. But remember what that was like. Don't lose that. You know, people say, how can you get so excited all the time? Man, just calm down. Because I am excited. Because if I lose that vision and you lose it, you're going to die. Not just physically, but spiritually, if you lose that. Yet now be strong. I'm going to back up a minute. In verse 3, Haggai saw what that temple had looked like, and others possibly also, and he realized they needed encouragement. They were building it, but as we go through, you're going to see they didn't have the materials as they once did, and they needed encouragement. I so can understand that because there are times there are things I want to do, even at the feast. It's like, I don't have the manpower. I don't have the speakers. I don't have the people to help with things. I just don't. So we make do. But sometimes it's like, I'd just be open with you. It gets discouraging. You're like, man, you know, it does. Verse 4, be now strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. For those of you that like the Hebrew words, you all should know what this means. YHVH Shammah, Shammah, which means I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 5. We'll get through this tonight. That's my goal. Finish the book. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. So some still knew that. It was still with them. It kept it a line of truth. And we have that line of truth. We know that. It's been with some of us a very long time. But just having head knowledge and not changing and not helping and not doing, and there's exceptions. If you have ill health, you know, is probably the biggest one. Do not fear. And in verse 4, when you have values that are true and right, you need to be strong and work. Not make excuses as to why you can't do his work. But we're humans. And he says, I'm with you. So my spirit remains among you. In verse 6, so thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once. It is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. He covers everything. He doesn't say, I'm just going to shake the water, or I'm just going to shake the earth, or just the heavens. Everything. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Filling that house when Jesus Christ was in the temple, born in that area, visited it. You know, we know Herod beautified the temple, but that desire of all nations is talking about the second coming. This house, the ecclesia, the church, the people of God, do we let him fill us? That's a good question. Do we let his spirit fill us? To get excited about living this way of life, doing his work? Or are we a recluse and we pull back and we hide from this evil world? And Revelation 18:4, come out of it. Don't interact with the people. That's not what that's saying. Quite the contrary. But what if they find out who I am and what I do? Uh-oh. What if they find out that I'm part of this group or this church, or I keep the Sabbath or the holy days, right? I had somebody recently say to me, you know, we need to get together and go watch an Alabama football game some Saturday. And I said, no, we actually don't. Now, you all are thinking I'm going to say because I don't like Alabama. I didn't say that. I told him Saturday is the day I worship God and I rest and I am with those that wish to worship him on that day. You talk about it would have been probably better if I said, hey, there's a nuclear war that just hit Idaho or North Dakota. I've never seen anybody get out of there so quick. I didn't force it on them. I just said, no, I won't. And you know what? They've never asked me again. Can't imagine why. Now, are we excited about what we do? Gail, remember the time we were in North Carolina? You were in line, I think it was North Carolina, ordering pizza. Tell us that story quick.
I was checking out at Walmart and I was buying frozen pizzas because, well, Scott and the kids like to have that as a snack. And so I just bought cheese pizzas and the lady was saying, oh, do you like cheese pizzas? And I said, no, I always buy plain and put stuff on it because we don't eat sausage or pork or anything like that. And she says, well, neither do I.
So, you know, that's a small thing, but go ahead.
On top of that, I said, and she said, well, how come you don't? I said, well, because the food laws in the Bible say you shouldn't eat it. And she says, me too.
So, you know, you never know. Are we excited about doing that? And what's going to happen? He said, it will fill my house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Denny says, by the way, I just want to bring this up again because I know you're at this point, you're still back and forth, folks. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. I don't remember where it was. Maybe it was Sunday evening when we had pizza with some brethren. I think it was. We were talking about tithing, wasn't it, with envelopes?
Yeah.
And
Good
someone
budgeting.
said when they first started tithing, when God opened their minds, it's like we can't afford this. We can't afford to do this. So they put everything in the envelopes, and then they had one that was, you know, as you remember starting out, you have first tithe, and then you had second tithe, and then at those that do that, third tithe. And it was like we always had enough. And the person I know I remember said, you know, the things I used to spend money on going here and there and with these friends and that, we didn't do that as much or at the same amount. And so we had more money than we had before. And I've heard that over and over and in my own life over and over. And I have seen people give of their time and encouragement in calling and writing cards and visiting other brethren, and you can't outgive God ever. And there's still this misnomer, well, only the pastor can do that. And it's like, come on, right? You need permission to do that, or only he does that? No, sorry. We're all called. We are all part of the body of Christ. This is talking. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. I own everything. And he said, I will add to the temple as it pleases me. I've got it to do that with. In verse 9, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. You know, Malachi 3:1, going back to the previous verse, says, God will add to the temple as he pleases if you, what, don't rob him. If you're stingy in your time, in your giving, in your care, in your service to your neighbors, your family, brethren, Others, you might have a little bit more financially for a while, but you're not going to have the peace that's coming. You're not going to have that. You won't. And so we continue on, verse 9, at that second coming where true peace comes. And verses 9 to 23, all of these are very, very encouraging words. I don't know if you can see my Bible, but I have purple around it. I put that around encouraging sections of scripture, and I blocked in that whole area. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, physical and spiritual peace. It's laid out. I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts, in the 24th of the ninth month. So now we're going on again in December. In the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law. Okay, go ask the guys that are supposed to know what we should be doing. Right? Without an outline, without a booklet, without a white paper, just ask him, what does God's word say? I don't, what's the church say? No. What does God's word say? Okay? So they ask them. So here we have the third discourse. Exactly 3 months after the building had resumed. If one bear, verse 12, holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt does touch bread or soup or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Maybe they were engineers with computers. You know? No. Very succinct, to the point, not very verbose. Then said Haggai, verse 13, if one that's unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. So as we're watching here and we read this and ascertain, the people were unclean, but once they worked on the temple and got their priorities straight, then God said the blessings would come. So the people, this is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I ask you, consider from this day upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days, where when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10, when one came to the press fat for the draw out the vessels of the press, there was but 20. I smote you with blasting because you were so self-absorbed and unclean, and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, and you turn not to me, says the Lord. You didn't turn to me. You couldn't, you weren't smart enough, I guess, to figure out this might be happening to get your attention to do my work, to build my temple. Verse 18. He said, you should have had a good crop, but you didn't. Why? Because you were unclean. Verse 18, consider this. Consider this. Now, from this day upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yes. As yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree has not brought forth, from this day I will bless you. You can read that in the paraphrased version. It's quite colorful. But he said, once you get your priorities straight, things will change. Prove me now herewith if I will not bless you once you make the change in your heart, not just the physical part of it, but your heart changes. Not the form, but the substance. Not how it looks to everybody, but what's in here. What's in your heart? And again, the word of the Lord came into Haggai. Here's the fourth discourse, saying, I will shake the heavens, and I will shake the earth. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his own brother. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 12, you can look it up later, talks about Zerubbabel and the lineage of Jesus Christ. In verse 22, he said, there's going to be turmoil in your world. It applies today. As it says, in modern lingo, get rid of your nuclear submarines, your bomb, your tanks, your warheads, your intercontinental ballistic missiles, all the things that we have. So it's going to be destroyed. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you as a signet. For I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. That signet meaning the seal of approval. Zerubbabel, and then with Jesus Christ when he comes back. I'm going to give you some scriptures you can read later and look up. Jeremiah 22, verse 24. Jeremiah 22, 24. Isaiah 11, 10. Isaiah 11:10, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, which we'll be going through fairly soon. Zechariah 3, verse 8, and Zechariah 6, verse 12. So we thus end the book of Haggai. I hope we all, you and I, will consider our ways, what we're doing. What we claim to be, who we are, what we're thinking, what's in our heart. Because all of the things that we may have put up that are important to us really isn't going to matter if we're not about doing that changing with within as the temple and building God's temple, doing his work, helping. Giving. Don't fall into the pattern of, well, I've been doing this for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years. I'm too old, too tired. I can't do anything anymore. You can still think a little bit. You can pray. You can read God's word. If you can't, you can listen to it. If you can't hear or read or see, but salvation is nearer than we think, folks. I've been saying this for decades. It's closer all the time. For someone like Pam, her race is done physically. And you think about that, how quick things can change for all of us, whatever your situation is. They change very, very quickly. Don't lay up treasure where moth and rust corrupts. We have time. We have time. Because everything is going to be shaken, and sometimes our world can be completely shaken. You may say, my world's already been shaken. Well, it's going to be shaken worse. All of us. But our salvation, our spiritual focus, what's coming, what's going to be offered to this entire world. God is saying now to this nation and the world, consider your ways. How many of us do that? With his spirit, we will. And seek him while he may be found. So that's finishes Haggai. I'll open it up for any comments or thoughts if you have any. But I want to just open it up related to the material. Harry?
Yeah, I want to bring attention back in verse chapter 1 and verse 6, where God talked about there they were getting listing all the things they were doing, but they weren't prospering. And then the thing is, really, I mean, the reason why that was their focus was not on God. And then we can have that in our personal lives too. If we're so busy doing whatever we're doing, and we don't have time for personal Bible study or prayer, feeding, and our nourishment from God and His Word. And that, our efforts can be wasted as well. So I think God was pointing that out very much so there.
Yep.
And then the other point was I noticed all too, this that first part of it, that took place all during the time fall feast time. The whole time, everything took place during that period of time, all the holy days, trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, last the 8th day. And that. And then let's see here. Oh, when it says remnant, when the Israelites came back from captivity, they were there for 70 years. Just many of those people were, all they knew was Babylonian life. They didn't know what it was in the promised land. So not all of them wanted to come back. Only a very few people actually came back into the promised land, and they were supposed to come back for the fact of building the temple. And so that was the remnant, but just a few that were really dedicated yet. And many of them here, he said, did you remember what it used to be? So the old people, it had to be quite old because they've been gone there for 70 years. They probably only saw the old temple, the original temple, when they were very young, and that. Now, the last point was, it's interesting though, in the, let's see here, that was the second chapter here. You got the verses from 11 through 14. The principle is given there also is pointing out that holiness can't be transferred by touching. This is what you're asking these questions here. You're bringing out the fact that holiness cannot be transferred by touching. You can defile holiness by touching, but you can't make something holy by touching it. And that was there. And that was the points I had that I wanted to talk about.
And I talked about, thanks, Harry. I talked about that
Yeah.
during the message, sermon message a couple weeks ago. Detail on that too,
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
there is an example over here where they were really going through. I mean, he was, it was recorded here.
Right.
That
Yep.
point, yeah.
Thanks, Harry.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Eric? You don't have to. I just saw you and I thought, well.
Oh, well, one thing that kind of jumped out at me a little bit was when he tells them, I think this is chapter 2, in verse 5, where he says, the promise or the covenant I made with you in Egypt when you came out. And that reminded me of after the golden calf incident, and Moses had to go and get two more tablets made up. And one of the things that happened after that is God told them, I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel. And it said the people mourned because they knew that they had lost some favor with God. And it says that he also told them to take out all of your jewelry. So, they took out all of their took off. It says they took off all of their jewelry because they knew God was upset, and they knew that was their kind of their way of showing that they knew it too. And Moses tells God, he said, if you won't go with us, don't just we'll just stay here. We're not going if you won't go with us. And God finally came back and said, okay, I'll listen to what you asked and I'll go with you. And that reminds me here of what he says to them, that I'm with you, just like I was with them.
Good point. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate that. All right, anybody else? Three times is a charm. We're at two out of three. We got one, at least one more here. Gail. Gail says, tomorrow night we have ladies leading ladies at 6:30. We're going to talk about the 10 foolish and the 10 wise virgins. So,
Well, not that many, half as many.
I mean, the five wise and the five foolish, sorry, but the 10 total. I got that right. They all slept. So, okay. This Sabbath, for those of you that are interested, Mark Sappington will be in town. If this horrible weather that's coming in doesn't destroy Alabama ahead of time. Sorry, pardon my sarcasm. I was watching one of those and it said 15%. So that's 85%. In all the years that I had to work outside, they'd say 30% chance of rain. It's different when you're in Florida and lower Alabama sometimes, but if it said 30%, that was a 70% chance. And I remember working where it would be pouring rain on one side of the road, and I'd be working on the other and get the whole thing done and never rained a drop. So anyway, he's planning on being here. Mark Sapton and Martha will be here this Sabbath. He's going to give the message. And then we're coming up fast and quickly on Passover and Unleavened Bread, the night be much observed. So I hope you're making plans for that. And we will start with an overview, God willing, next week of the book of Zechariah. And we're narrowing down on the minor prophets. We have Zechariah's got quite a few chapters, and we've got Malachi. So we're getting near the final stretch, as they say, for Seabiscuit here. But if you ever have any questions or comments that you don't want to discuss here online, you can always reach out to me during the week or Gail. And feel free to do that. We encourage that and look forward to that. And please remember the folks that we've mentioned in prayer at the beginning. So let me see. I'm looking. By the way, Noé, ¿cómo está, señor?
Hello.
Right. Well, I'm just going to say Noé is okay. He's lighting up, but we can't hear him. So, anyway. And Noé, no es problema. Just saludos a todos.
You
Yeah,
hear me now?
a little bit.
Okay, maybe I don't have a good signal over here.
It's okay. Just wanted to see how you were. That's all.
I'm doing fine, thank you. Hope
Okay.
all of you guys are okay too.
Un grande abrazo. Okay.
Yeah, I'll see you. Bye.
Ciao. Okay. Joe Myers, are you still awake?
Yep.
Yeah. Can you close in prayer? Would you?
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Our Father in heaven, come before you this evening, thanking you so much for being able to assemble together, even if it is remotely, to hear a study of your word and be reminded, refocused on what our priorities should be in our lives with respect to seeking you, Father, your kingdom first in our lives. Can be hard to do when we get busy and we're physical beings. But Father, we need to do that. So we thank you for reminding us for it. And I pray that you would inspire us, uplift us by your spirit. We know that there are those that are suffering and in need of encouragement and your help. Father, we just pray and ask that you would help them, encourage them, uplift them. For those that are ill and sick, that you would provide strength and encouragement to them and continue to guide and direct us, Father, as we seek to know you better and seek your word. We ask your dismissal. We ask your blessing on the upcoming holy days and our preparations, Father, and please help us keep us safe as we go to any different places we might travel to keep the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. So we ask your dismissal now, Father. Thank you so much for the many blessings you've given to us over the years. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.